pleased with it. And since that time, I've written more about consolidation. And I can back it up even a little better. Okay. I'm learning. It's a whole new year for me. But I'm pleased with what I'm teaching, and I think, you know, we're going in the right direction. The big announcement is, on last Sunday, we had the canonization of Saint Bishop Oscar Romero and Saint Pope Paul VI. Father Norbert made a holy card of Pope Paul VI. And he made it available in the back of our Abbey Church for people to pick one up. I picked one up. In the back, there is a prayer for vocations, which he wrote. And we're going to start off when we stand to pray. I'm going to read this prayer prayerfully. It'll be a prayer. So you just listen and pray along, okay, by listening and by taking to heart what's being said here. At the bottom of the prayer, this is what he wrote. Pope Paul VI composed this prayer and asked that it be recited on Good Shepherd Sunday and throughout the year of 1964. Long before you were born, okay? It has been prayed at St. Michael's Abbey daily since that time. Our Abbot Parker really jumped on this when it came out, and he had our community pray it every morning for that year, and then after that year, he just wanted us to keep praying it. So we pray this every morning since 1964, okay? So that's how we'll start off our prayer. Also, this morning, there was a man who, from our parish, we haven't seen him here for years. I've been visiting him in bed. Either at his home or in a care home. His name is John Peterson, and he died this morning. And so I've been asked, I have to get permission to say Mass here. Probably won't be on a Thursday. And the family has to talk about, you know, when they want that. Maybe on a Monday. So we'll see. So John, and then today, I may have mentioned Tom Chamberlain. It was his son that tragically, in a sense, you know, died, I don't know, 2 years ago. So young, such a bright future. He was bringing young people back to the church. And then just like that, you know, a motorcycle accident, he died. So now the father is having surgery today at UCLA Medical Center. So let's stand and we'll pray this prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, divine shepherd of souls, who called the apostles to become fishers of men, now call the ardent and generous hearts of our youth to make them your followers and ministers. Let them share your thirst for that universal redemption for which you daily renew your sacrifice upon the altar. O Lord Jesus, always living to make intercession for us, extend our horizons to the entire world, where so many brethren make silent supplication for the light of truth and the warmth of love, so that answering your call, many young men may prolong here your mission edify your mystical body, the church, and become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Extend, O Lord, your loving call to many pure and generous-hearted young women, that they may grow in their desire for evangelical perfection and may dedicate themselves to the service of the church and their neighbors who so desperately need such assistance and charity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at differences between the old Mass and, oh yeah, I got to see if you did the homework. Okay, I'll do that first. A lot of you are missing. Did Madeline do the homework?
Yes, Father.
And Joshua?
Yes, Father.
Okay, you got to stop talking. Teresa?
Yes, Father.
Joseph?
Yes, Father.
Marianne? Angelica.
Yes, Father Francis.
Claire.
Yes, Father Francis.
James.
Yes, Father Francis.
Mary.
Yes, Father Francis.
Christopher.
Yes, Father Francis.
Madison.
Yes, Father Francis.
Diego.
Yes. No.
You don't know. I'll ask him more. Liliana.
Yes, Father Francis.
Alex.
Yes, Father Francis.
Gregory.
Yes, Father Francis.
Nicholas.
Yes, Father Francis.
Andrew.
Yes, Father Francis.
Luke.
Yes, Father Francis.
Sophia.
Yes, Father Francis.
Oh, well, look who's here. Did Joseph do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Peter. Peter, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Where can I sit? Well, have a seat, guys. Not there. You're part of the class, so don't sit with the parents. Sit with the students. All right, we're ready to go. So we've been we're comparing the old Mass to the new Mass, and we were looking at the liturgical year, how they're different, and then the Mass, each of the two Masses, how they're different in general. Now we're going to zero in today, just for today, we're going to zero in on the differences between the two Masses as far as the first half of the Mass. Okay, this is the first half of the Mass. The 1962 Mass. We all know the new Mass, okay? So we're going to go through this booklet this week, and then next week we'll do the second half of this booklet. We'll do the second half of the Mass. Okay. And then towards the latter part of today's class, we'll get into questions about what's up there. All right? So this red booklet, I got this from our abbey. As a community, we don't do the old Mass. We do the Novus Ordo in English 3 days a week, and we do the Novus Ordo in Latin 4 days a week, usually. That's how it works. Okay? If there's some special occasion, like the Feast of St. Augustine or St. Norbert or St. Michael, generally the Mass is in Latin. Okay? And so, as a community, we don't use this book. But this is in the Cardinal Menzenti Chapel at our abbey, which is a small part of our church. It's a separate chapel. And a few of our priests, they do the old Mass. So people can follow along in this booklet. It's for the people. All right? It says, Latin English Booklet Missal for Praying the Traditional Mass. Okay, Okay. And it was put out in 1998, 20 years ago. All right. And at the beginning of the book, it has prayers before Mass by St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, a prayer of an act of faith, hope, and charity, an act of contrition, and then you start. All right? So page 8, you start. And you start with the asparagus. Does anybody know what that word means or what that's about? What goes on during the asparagus? Anybody know? So none of you go to the Latin Mass, right? The old Mass? You do. Do you know what the asparagus is? Okay, you don't have it for every Mass. It's for the high Mass. See, in the old Mass, you either have a high Mass or a low Mass. Most of the time, it's a low Mass. If it's during the week, it's going to be a low Mass, generally. You may wonder sometimes, if you come to the 12:30 Mass, why there is water on the floor of the church. That's because at the 10:45 old Mass, when they have a high Mass, the priest is going up and down the aisles sprinkling the people with holy water. Have you seen that? Okay, so that's the asparagus means sprinkling. We have this on Easter, right? On Easter, the priest goes up and down and gets people all wet and, hey, get that out of my face. And outdoors, you know, everybody gets it. Okay, so that's what happens at the beginning of a high Mass, in the old Mass. And the priest is praying in Latin. You may not know what he's saying. Here's the English. Sprinkle me, O Lord, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Have mercy on me, O Lord, in your great mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. That's from Psalm 51. Perhaps the greatest psalm there is, expressing one's sorrowful heart, a sorrow for sin, a contrite spirit. Okay? It's a masterpiece, probably written by King David, probably after he had those big sins. Okay? He is noted for having a contrite spirit. And that's reflected in this masterpiece, Psalm 51. It's a good psalm to pray after going to confession or before confession. It's a good psalm to pray before Mass. Okay? So he's saying one part of that prayer, sprinkling. Why would that be a good idea to begin Mass with this sprinkling? Well, remember, the old Mass focuses on sin and sacrifice. Those two ideas just keep coming up over and over from the beginning of the Mass to the end. Okay, so it's focusing on sin. And water is a sign of cleansing, to be cleansed of our venial sins. All right? If we have a contrite spirit at the beginning of Mass, our venial sins are taken away. It's not a command that the priest says. It's a request. He's praying that our sins will be taken away. Okay? And this is something visual. It's something you feel. You feel the water. It's not just an idea, okay? It's something tangible. This is good. It's a good idea. Huh? We have five senses, and so you're seeing the water, you're feeling the water. That's two of the senses that are into this. Okay, this idea of having our sins washed away. This is the asparagus, all right? Has anybody had their home blessed by a priest? By a priest?
Okay.
Wow. He would have said this prayer. This is the same prayer you have when your home is blessed. The priest goes through each of the rooms of your house saying this prayer. Sprinkle me, O Lord, with hyssop. Wash me, and I shall be cleansed. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Have mercy on me, O Lord, in your great mercy, glory. And he just keeps saying that over and over until all the rooms have been blessed, sprinkled with holy water. Okay. I used to do this on a regular basis when I first started teaching homeschool families. It was a good idea. Once a month, once a semester, one family in our group would have their home enthroned. Okay? And so for that, we wouldn't have a class. We would just meet at that home for the enthronement. They'd have their home blessed at the beginning, and then you just go through the whole enthronement thing. It's a mass in the home. And then we'd have a meal. So if you were a homeschool family coming to my class, you were either remotely or more proximately getting prepared to have your home enthroned, at least mentally. Okay, every semester I would preach something a little bit different about enthronement. And so it was a social event. We were growing in this. So you were either preparing for it or you were actually having your home enthroned with the rest of the community. Or you had your home enthroned, but it was like a renewal. It was going deeper. Okay? And we all did this together. So this happened for, I don't know, 3 years. And plus I was enthroning other homes too. So I must have enthroned close to 60 homes the first, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years I was a priest. And then I haven't done it for years. Huh? I haven't done that for years. But it was a good, we can't do that here because we're just all scattered all over the place. We have people from Temecula, Orange County, and the rest of you just, yikes, all over the place. So we can't, it's just not practical, all right? But it works if people are local, if they're just all from Huntington Beach, let's say, you know. Okay, so this is the asparagus. It goes on and on. So it's that prayer, and then show us, O Lord, thy mercy, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come unto thee. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit, let us pray. Then the priest says a prayer. This is also the prayer that the priest prays at the end of blessing the home. Hear us, O Lord, O Holy Lord. Almighty Father, everlasting God, and vouchsafe to send thy holy angel from heaven to guard, cherish, protect, visit, and defend all that are assembled in this place. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And then during Easter to Pentecost, the priest will say this in Latin, okay, not English. I saw water flowing from the right side of the temple, alleluia. Okay, so there's not a lot of alleluias in the old mass, but for Easter, Pentecost, you got alleluia. And all they to whom that water came were saved, and they shall say, Alleluia, Alleluia. What's big about this, it's focusing on the temple, water coming from the right side of the temple. Now, Jesus calls himself a temple, and on the cross, water flowed from his right side. So Ezekiel the prophet, many hundreds of years before Christ, prophesied this would happen. Yes, the temple in the Old Testament had water coming out of the right side of it. Okay, and that was a prefiguration of the water coming from the right side of Jesus when he died. The water and blood that cleanses us of our sins. All the sacraments came from his side, symbolized by the water and blood. It symbolizes grace. The water symbolizes grace. Okay. So again, this idea of washing, okay, before Mass, an awareness of our sins. And then it says, praise the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. That's the asparagus. That's the whole page in Latin, and then the translation into English. That's the asparagus for the high Mass. Then you kneel for this part. And that, wait, no. What is that? I'm sorry. You stand. You stand for the asparagus. Yeah, that makes sense. You stand for the asparagus. And now, for most of the masses, this is where it begins, right here. Okay? And you kneel. In the old Mass, you start by kneeling. All right, and it's called the ordinary of the Mass. What does that mean? We'll talk about that later, for questions. Mass of the Catechumens. That means the first half of the Mass. In the new Mass, we call this the Liturgy of the Word. So next week, we're going to have the Mass of the Faithful. That's the second half of this. All right? But in the new Mass, we call it the Liturgy of the Eucharist. So that's up on the board. In the old Mass, according to how they divide it in the two parts, the focus is on the people. How about that, huh? The old Mass people, they say, oh, we're just so focusing on God, we're so focusing on... Yeah, but look at how they divide it. It's the Mass of the Catechumens, that's people. The Mass of the Faithful, that's people too. Whereas in the new Mass, it's divided between the Word and Sacrament, the Eucharist. So that's focusing on God. It's kind of ironic, huh? Because in the old Mass, you know, they say, you know, you're just so focused on God. And the new Mass is all this communio. Everybody's focusing on each other. But it's just the opposite of how they describe themselves, okay? Old Mass, according to the division, it's focused on who's there, okay? The Mass of the Catechumen. What's a catechumen? You don't have that as part of your vocabulary, huh? It's a biblical word. It's found in the New Testament. St. Paul talks about the katechumenos, katechumeni. That would be the plural, I think. Okay. Those who are not Christian, they're open to it. They're interested. They're studying it. They're learning about what it means to be Christian. Okay? It may just be the beginning, or it may be a later stage where they really do want to become Christian, and they have a good idea of church teaching, considering that they're not Christian yet. Okay? So, the first half of the Mass, in the old Mass, the catechumens are welcome to that part of the Mass, the Liturgy of the Word. That's where you learn about the Word. Okay. But the second half of the Mass, that's for the faithful. It's not recommended that the catechumens are there because they can't receive the Eucharist. They're going to be feeling excluded. But you don't have that kind of division in the new Mass. The focus on the first half of the Mass is the Word. And there's more of the Bible in the new Mass than in the old Mass. You hear more of the Bible in the new Mass. But the second half of the Mass, clearly, that's about the Eucharist. Okay, so two ways of dividing the Mass. Okay. In the past, in the early centuries, I think after the first half of the Mass, the catechumens were officially dismissed. Okay. Now, since that time, you just have the dismissal at the end of the Mass. Everybody is dismissed. Everybody's sent out, sent forth. Okay, but at the beginning, you had two sendings. At the end of the first part of the Mass, the catechumens were sent out, generally for further instruction. And then at the end of the Mass, then the faithful were sent out. All right, now we're going to start the Mass when it's the low Mass. All right. And how does the Mass start? They got it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Any prayer you start, it starts this way, the sign of the cross. Now, in this booklet, it says that the priest is going to be making the sign of the cross 52 times throughout the Mass. 52 times. Most of that is going to be during the Roman canon. I mean, he just keeps doing it over and over. Sometimes it happens so fast, you think he's like trying to stir, something to make, I don't know, like he's in the kitchen. We don't have that in the new Mass. There's not nearly as many signs of the cross. The new Mass wanted to do away with a lot of the repetition, just too much. Why are you blessing Jesus' body and blood? Why? And why so many times? Okay. Now, the priest says in Latin, I'm just going to go through this in English. We're not going to do the Latin. I will go unto the altar of the Lord. Now it's shifting. Now it's shifting from sin to sacrifice. What's the purpose of the altar? To offer sacrifice. And so that's the picture in this book. You have the altar with the priest, and he's already holding up the host. Already the focus is on that. That's a bit too fast for the new Mass. We just want to focus on the Word, and we'll get to this part. We'll get to the second half, but let's first focus on the Word. All right. So you have this Psalm 42 in the old Mass. And the key word in this is the altar. All right, I'll just quickly read it. It kind of goes back and forth. Yeah, the priest doing one part and then the server. Did you notice there's no greeting? It's as if the congregation isn't out there. It's just the priest and the server. Those are the ones that are saying the words. The people, I mean, they can if they want to, if they can read the Latin, if they can keep up, you know, but you can have the Mass without the lay people. They're superfluous. It's all about the priest doing the Mass, and then he's got the server to do the responses. So this is, I mean, this already, it's showing that there's no greeting. The priest does not acknowledge the congregation, doesn't welcome them. You know, the priest really is the host, and the people are the guests, you know. Welcome to the house of God. But there's none of that, okay? There's none of that in the old Mass. Judge me, O God, and distinguish my cause from the nation that is not holy. Deliver me from the unjust and deceitful man. Then the server says, for thou, O God, art my strength. Why hast thou cast me off, and why do I go sorrowful whilst the enemy afflictest me? Okay, so there's this sense of sorrow, sin. Send forth thy light and thy truth. This is the priest speaking. They have led me and brought me unto thy holy hill and into thy tabernacles. Okay, the altar is on a hill. It's high up, generally. At least in the Old Testament. The altar was in a high spot. And then here it is, right here. And it's the server that says it, not the priest. And I will go unto the altar of God, unto God who giveth joy to my youth. And then the priest says, I will praise thee upon the harp, O God, my God. Why art thou sad, O my soul, and why dost thou disquiet me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him who is the salvation of my countenance. My God, glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Okay, so that's the whole song. And again, the focus is on the altar. The priest is coming towards the altar. So that's the focus. Okay? And the people they kneel for that whole thing. And it keeps going. I will go in unto the altar of my God, unto God who gives joy to my... So it's repeating that. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And now the shift. Okay? Then the priest says the confiteor by himself, and he rips through it, I'm sure, okay? I confess, Almighty God, to Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, Blessed Michael, the Archangel, Blessed John the Baptist, the Holy Apostles, Peter and Paul, all the saints, and to you, Father, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned exceedingly in thought, word, and deed. And he does this three times. Through my fault, through my most grievous fault, therefore I beseech Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, and all those saints again. And says, may Almighty God have mercy upon me, forgive me my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Okay, so that's the priest. And then the server does that. The server does the confiteor. So it's prayed twice. In the new Mass, you just do it once, okay? There's simplicity. There's not as much repetition. And the people, may, if they want to, they can say it. If not, they don't, you know, they can be praying the rosary or doing something else. And there's some other prayers we will go into. Oh, no, yeah. May, and then after everybody's done their confiteor, may the Almighty and the merciful God grant us pardon and remission of our sins. I'm sorry, pardon, absolution, and remission of our sins. Okay? And then some more prayers. So that's the Confiteor. The priest then ascends the altar. He's been in front of it. You have that Psalm 42 about the altar. Now he ascends the altar. And now we're back to our sins. Take away from us our iniquities, we entreat thee, O Lord, that with pure minds we may worthily enter into the Holy of Holies. Wow, that we, not just the priest. In the Old Testament, only the high priest went into the holiest part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. This is saying, may we worthily enter the Holy of Holies through Christ. The new Holy of Holies is heaven. Okay. You see that in the book of Revelation, I think, or in Hebrews, St. Paul's someone's letter to the Hebrews. We beseech you, O Lord, by the merits of thy saints whose relics are here. There is supposed to be a relic in the altar of some saint, generally the saint for whom the parish is named after. Okay. I don't think we have any relics of Saint Secundo. Maybe we do. I wouldn't. I don't know. I'm a melancholic, so I automatically think, you know, more negatively. But I would imagine we have different relics. Maybe I'm wrong. That'd be cool if we really do have a relic, you know, a little part of the bone of Saint Secundo. Okay, now that we've had all this about sin and the altar, which is a symbol of sacrifice, now you have the introit. In the new mass, that would be the entrance, that'd be like the entrance antiphon. Okay, if there's no singing at the beginning of mass, you'd have the entrance antiphon. And they're different every day of the year. So I won't read it, because it's different every day. So after the introit, now you have the Kyrie eleison, the Lord have mercy. And again, the priest says it, and then the server. Then the priest and the server. So here's how it goes. I'll do it in the Greek, okay? So here's the priest, here's the server. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison. Christe eleison, Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. That's nine times. Nine times. In the English, it goes, Lord, have mercy. The priest says it, and the people say, Lord, have mercy. And then the priest says, Christ, have mercy. The people say, Christ, have mercy. The priest says, Lord, have mercy. The people say, Lord, have mercy. That's six times. So the old mass, you have it nine times. The new mass, you have it six times. There's repetition in both, but not as much in the new. And then you have the Gloria in Excelsis Dei, okay? Glory to God in the highest. That's from Luke chapter 2. On Christmas, the first Christmas when Jesus was born, the angels were singing glory to God in the highest and peace to people of goodwill. Okay, so we all know that. It's a prayer of praise, primarily to Jesus, but it does mention the Father and the Holy Spirit. So we go from focusing on ourselves, you know, I confess to Almighty God, Lord have mercy on me, on us, you know. And now the shift is to God. This is praising God, thanking God, asking God. Okay, the focus is not on ourselves, but on God. And the priest says, the Lord be with you and with your, and then people say, and with thy spirit. And then he says, let us pray. And now you have what's called the collect. We have that, we call it that in the new mass. But in the new mass, we're more specific because there's three collects. So which collect is this? This is the opening prayer. And I won't read it because it's different every mass. Okay. And then everybody sits down. Oh, you know the Gloria? That's for the high mass. Just like in the new mass, you don't have the Gloria every day. You just have it for like a solemnity or a feast. Okay. So you sit down. Get this. And then you have the epistle. You have the first, you have a reading from St. Paul. All right? So you listen to that. And then you have the gradual. And that's from a psalm. In the new mass, we would just call it a responsorial psalm because there's responding, okay? Maybe the guy in charge of the choir, you know, he'll sing something and then the people respond. They'll repeat that, okay? There's a response, but not with the gradual. There's no responding. It's part of a psalm, and the priest reads the gradual. Okay. And then he says, Alleluia, Alleluia. So there is an Alleluia in here. Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of our fathers, and worthy to be praised forever. Alleluia. And then the priest says a prayer before the gospel to himself. He doesn't say it out loud. And you should have this in the new mass too. It's a different prayer in the new mass, but it's basically the same. Cleanse my heart and my lips, O Almighty God, who didst cleanse the lips of the prophet Isaiah with the burning coal. That's, I think, Isaiah chapter 6. Through thy gracious mercy, so purify me that I may worthily proclaim thy holy gospel through Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, O Lord, thy blessing. May the Lord be in my heart and on my lips that I may worthily and fittingly proclaim his gospel. Amen. In the new mass, the priest, before he does the gospel, he'll just say that last part. May the Lord be on my lips and my heart that I may worthily proclaim your word, O Lord. Okay, the Holy Gospel. Okay, so he's read the epistle. He's read the gradual, or it's sung by the choir, I think. He's prayed that his mouth and his heart will be clean when he bows. And now you have the gospel. The priest says, the Lord be with you, and the people say, or at least the server says, and with thy spirit. And then, you know, he'll say a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And at the end, the server says, praise be to thee, O Christ. And the priest says, by the words of the gospel, may our sins be blotted out. How about that? Not just the confiteor, but the gospel blotting out our sins, our venial sins. Wow. And then you have the sermon. but only for a high mass, I think. I don't think there's a sermon for a low mass. So during the week, if you have the old mass, there's no sermon. Whereas in the new mass, oftentimes, it's up to the priest, it's optional. He could have a sermon, a homily. How am I doing with time? I want to say something about the readings. I may have already said it. In the old mass, you have the epistle, the gradual, which is a part of a psalm, and then you have the gospel. That's it, okay? In the new mass, you have a reading from the Old Testament. You have a responsorial psalm. You have a psalm. Then you have a reading from the New Testament, the second reading. And then you have the gospel. Okay, so you have an extra reading. It's always the Old Testament except for Easter. And then instead of an Old Testament reading during Easter, you have the Acts of the Apostles. And in the Latin Mass, the old Mass, it's the same every year. Exactly the same readings every year. Whereas in the new Mass, there's a three-year cycle for Sunday Mass. There's cycle A, B, and C. So you have certain readings for that cycle A throughout the year. And then the next year, they're different. There's different readings. First reading, responsorial psalm. Second reading, gospel. It's different for cycle B for the whole year. And then you have different readings again for cycle C. You have a three-year cycle. Instead of a one-year cycle that repeats every year, you have three times as many more readings. Three times as much of the Bible. And that's for Sunday. Okay? Now, there's another cycle during the year for the weekday masses. That's a two-year cycle. That's cycle one and cycle two. So it's different for years until you repeat. Okay? So you have more of a rich variety of the Bible being proclaimed in the new Mass than you do in the old Mass. The new Mass emphasizes more the Word. It wants you to know the Bible, a good part. It doesn't go through all the Bible, but I don't know, perhaps twice as much as you would in the Latin Mass. Okay? You get twice as much of the Bible as you would in the old Mass. Something like that. Yeah. Okay, so after the homily, then you stand for the creed. The Nicene Constantinople Creed, just like in the new Mass. Everybody says it. And then when it comes to that part of the creed where it says, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, the incarnation. In the old Mass, you kneel. Or you genuflect. You genuflect for that part of the creed, and then you come back up and stand again. In the new mass, you just bow. Okay. You get more exercise in the old mass. So that's the creed. And no prayer of the faithful in the old mass. That's in the new mass. In the new mass, you have the prayer of the faithful. So in the old mass, the first half ends with the creed. In the new mass, the first half ends with the prayer of the faithful. And then everybody sits down. Okay, except for the priest. So that's the first half of the mass. Any questions so far? Any questions? You have a basic idea of the old mass going from beginning to end, the first half. Okay, now we're going to do some thinking. Questions. Now, in this Latin book, it started off by saying the ordinary of the Mass. There are parts of the Mass that are called ordinary, and then there's other parts that are called proper. What's the difference? You can kind of figure this one out. These are the parts of the Mass that are always there for every Mass. They don't change. These are things you hear every time you go to Mass. For a Sunday Mass. For a Sunday, let's say a high Mass. You're always going to have the Kyrie. You're always going to have the Gloria. You're always going to have the Creed. But there's other parts that change. At least the words change every Mass. Those would be the propers. It's proper to this feast. It's proper to this season. Okay. It's proper to this week. So the asparagus, that's... Okay, let's say this is all the high mass. This is the high mass... So, is the asparagus proper to the Mass, or is it ordinary for the high Mass every Sunday? What?
Ordinary.
You have it every Sunday. It's always the same. The only difference is sometimes you get more wet than others, all right? But otherwise, it's the same thing over and over every Sunday. It doesn't change. The sign of the cross never changes. Psalm 42, is that ordinary or proper? For the high mass. Raise your hand if it's ordinary. Raise your hand if it's proper. It's ordinary. It's the same thing every Sunday. It's ordinary. It's not different. Every Sunday, it's the same thing. You kneel. You kneel. I mixed up here. Yeah, you kneel for this, okay? While the priest and the server go back and forth about the altar, you know, the song that has to do with the altar. The confiteor, I confess to Almighty God, is that proper or ordinary?
Ordinary.
You got it?
Yes.
It's ordinary. It's the same thing every time you have the high mass. Every Sunday and holy days of obligation, you always had the confiteor. Well, twice. know, the priest does it, and then the server, the people do it. Introit. The introit, is that ordinary or proper? You always have an introit, but is it always the same?
No.
It's always different, right? Good job. It's always a different prayer. It's from the scriptures, but it's different every day. Or at least every week. Okay. It's always different. The Kyrie, is that ordinary or proper?
Ordinary.
Ordinary. Good, you're getting it. Gloria, on the High Mass on a Sunday, is that ordinary or proper?
Ordinary.
Ordinary. The Collect, the opening prayer, is that ordinary or proper?
Proper.
Proper. It's always different. Okay? It's a prayer fitting for the season, whether it's Advent or Lent or Christmas, Easter. It's proper for the feast of the day. It'll mention that saint's name. Okay? So it's proper. It's yeah, it's always different. And then the epistle. You always have an epistle on the High Mass, okay? But is it proper or ordinary?
Proper.
Proper, because it's different. Every High Mass is going to be a different epistle. Probably from St. Paul, but it's going to be different. The Gospel, is that proper or ordinary?
Proper.
You always have a Gospel, but is it always the same?
No.
No. Every Mass, it's different. Every day of the year, you have a different Gospel. So it's proper. The homily, sometimes it seems like the priest is just saying the same thing over and over. Okay. The Creed, is that ordinary or proper?
Ordinary.
Ordinary. Good. Good. You got it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, again, this is the old Mass, the 1962 Mass. We're going to compare it to the Novus Ordo Missae, the new Mass, the Mass of 1970. In the new Mass, do you have the asparagus?
No.
Everybody? No. Do you have the sign of the cross?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And there's no greeting of the people here in the old Mass, but in the new Mass, you have the greeting of the people. In the new Mass, you have Psalm 42. No. In the new Mass, do you have the Confiteor?
Yes.
In the new Mass, do you have the Introit? Yes and no. It's the entrance antiphon. But the entrance antiphon would be like up here. You'd have it if you don't have singing for, you know, a Sunday Mass. Generally, we have singing, right? So there is no entrance antiphon, although maybe you haven't noticed, but within the past year or so, church director, the music director, Johnny. The opening song, you could say, for Sunday Mass, it is an entrance antiphon in Latin. You can't follow along, you can't sing with. That's the disadvantage. But we do have the entrance antiphon here in our church. I mean, I don't know if you have that anyplace else except for St. Michael's Abbey. Maybe you got the idea from us, huh? Okay. Yeah. We have the entrance antiphon at the beginning of our Mass. And it's sung. Do we have the Kyrie?
Yes.
In the new Mass?
Yes.
It's shorter, but we have it. Do we have the Gloria?
Yes.
Exactly the same. Do we have a collect, opening prayer?
Yes.
Yes.
In the new Mass, we do. Do we have an epistle?
Yes.
But before the epistle, we have a first reading from the
Old Testament.
Who said it? From the Old Testament, okay? We have the Old Testament. We have a responsorial psalm. We have an epistle. And then we have the gospel. Then you have a homily. In the new Mass, the creed, not the Apostles' Creed, but the Nicene Constantinople Creed, the longer creed. Mm-hmm. You pray the Apostles' Creed when you pray the Rosary, right?
Yeah.
Shorter creed. And then after the creed and the new Mass, you have the prayer of the faithful. It's optional during the week. I don't use it during the week. In the Eucharistic prayers, and when you're praying for the Pope, the Bishop, for the living, the dead, okay, it is. Yes?
In the New Mass, we do have the asparagus, but it's only on special days, like Easter, and then it's usually during the Gloria.
Okay, yeah. Like Easter?
Yes.
Easter, we had the asparagus. Sometimes the priest will use that branch from a tree that gets a lot of water, so when he whips it, he just has this big spray of water. Everybody gets it, huh? You get not sprinkled, but you get doused. You get pretty wet. Okay, so we covered this. Yes.
Did the Old Mass do any changes for like a special day, like a Christmas Eve or Easter?
What's that?
Did they do any changes for special feast days, like Easter or
like Christmas what changes?
Like having a new Mass.
Like, well, we have different collects. Is that what you mean, or? During Lent, we don't have the Gloria, and we don't have the Alleluia, right? No Alleluias. You have to look glum and sad and melancholic. I'm a natural at that. Any questions? Next week and the week after, we're going to spend two classes on the second half of the Mass. Next week, we're going to just go through the different parts of the new Mass. I'll be working out of this booklet again. It'll be the same format. And then the week after that, we're going to zero in on one part of the second half of the Mass, the four Eucharistic prayers. Interesting, huh? They're all so different. Okay, so that's what's coming up the pike. We'll stand and pray one Hail Mary for John and the repose of the soul of John Phillips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.